Kelly and I were, we started reading the Bible all the way through at the beginning of the year. And we were reading in Genesis. And as we were reading about Joseph, that's what made me come up with this short talk tonight, what I want to talk to you about. It fits really well with the lesson that we had, the Bible study that we had last week and tonight. So I want to start off by reading a few passages from Genesis to you. The first one being in Genesis chapter 21, verse 22. It says, "At that time Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his forces, said to Abraham, 'God is with you in everything you do.'" And the next one is going to be in Genesis 26, verses 26 through 28. "Meanwhile, Abimelech had come to him from Gerar with Ahazuth, his personal advisor, and Phicol, the commander of his forces. Isaac asked them, 'Why have you come to me, since you were hostile to me and sent me away?' They answered, 'We saw clearly that the Lord was with you. So we said, there ought to be a sworn agreement between us and you. Let us make a treaty with you.'" And the last one in Genesis is going to be Genesis chapter 39, verses 2 through 4. "The Lord was with Joseph, so that he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned." So, are you starting to see a little bit of a pattern here? What exactly would these men of the Bible, what would their lives look like to have the people around them say that your God has made you prosperous? Especially Potiphar, an Egyptian who more than likely knew nothing about Joseph's God. And he put Joseph in charge of everything that he had. And even though he didn't know anything about his God, you know, he recognized that something was unusual about Joseph. Prosperity could mean a lot of things. By the world standards, prosperity could be a measure of a person's success, their possessions, the amount of money they make, or the power that that person has, just to name a few. Now, from the lesson that we had tonight with Josh, we know that our treasures should be laid up in heaven, that we're not seeking these earthly possessions. But we cannot deny that we all have an abundance of prosperity here in this life, and God does continue to prosper us. But what do we do with that prosperity? So let's talk about Joseph's earthly prosperity for a moment. We know that Joseph wasn't a perfect man, so he had to make mistakes just like we do along the way. But nevertheless, Potiphar saw that God was with Joseph in everything that he did, and he caused him to prosper. So Potiphar again entrusted him with everything that he owned. Joseph's life was such a testament to God's blessings that a powerful Egyptian put a detestable Jew in charge of everything that he had. This made Joseph a powerful man. We also know from the story of Joseph that he went on to be the second most powerful man in Egypt and from Pharaoh, because Pharaoh also saw that God prospered him. Joseph and his ancestors before him prospered because of God, and the people around them saw God's prosperity through them was great. Do we show God through our prosperity? Would non-believers look at our prosperity and say about us, their God is with them in everything that they do? Matthew 5:16 says, "In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your God, that see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Proverbs 3:9 says, "Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops." Do we do this in every aspect of our lives, including our wealth and prosperity? I'll tell you, I'm proud to be a pipe fitter. That's what I do for a living. It also makes me feel good that I can provide for my family and provide a comfortable lifestyle for them. And I do take some pride in the nice things that I have. I don't put those things first in my life, and we can't do that. But in all of that, am I giving glory to God, the one who has blessed me with these things in the first place? Sometimes I'm ashamed to say that I don't always. I do need to be more like Joseph. I want to be more like Joseph. Now, I don't want anybody to misunderstand what I'm talking about here. We shouldn't go around bragging about, you know, the things that we have and the possessions that we have, the success that we have. We've all seen those televangelist preachers on TV that you know, that are wealthy and have a lot of money, and they talk about the prosperity message, and they justify it by saying, you know, God has blessed me with all these things. Well, they're doing this for their own glory and not giving the glory to God. And again, just by adding that God has blessed us with these things doesn't make it okay if we're just seeking the attention and glory of men. We learn, you know, in the first part of Matthew chapter 6, that those lessons that we learn there applies to our accomplishments and prosperity just as much as it does to our praying, fasting, and good deeds. We can't do that, you know, for the glory of men. But when people do notice our prosperity on their own, and they will sometimes, whatever that might be, it could be a success in business, school, sports, or even our finances. Whatever it might be, we need to make sure God's glory is shown through it. We can also see from Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 through 19, which we read earlier in class, that there were wealthy, prosperous Christians in the first century church as well. I'll read that passage to you. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. So again, we need to make sure that we are doing good with those riches that God has blessed us with and glorify Him. Paul was very specific in telling the rich what they should do with their wealth. Now, I know that we are not all blessed in the same way financially, but compared to the rest of the world, we are all very blessed. We're very rich compared to the rest of the world. Are we making sure that we are using those blessings to bring glory to our Father in heaven with our good deeds and sharing our blessings with others? I want to read a story to you that Kelly shared with me the other day that I thought reflected what I'm talking about really well here. This was from March 11th, 2020. Sadio Mane, born in Senegal, is a professional footballer who plays for Liverpool, the reigning champions of the UEFA Champions League. The 27-year-old soccer star makes over $100,000 a week playing for Liverpool, but he walks around with a cracked cell phone. His fans wanted to know why he didn't just buy a new one. His answer was so incredibly humble. Why would I want 10 Ferraris, 20 diamond watches, and 2 jet planes? What would that do for the world? Mane said in an interview with Tele-Dakar. I starved, I worked in fields, I played barefoot, and I didn't go to school. Now I can help people. I prefer to build schools and give poor people food or clothing. I have built schools and a stadium. We provide clothes, shoes, and food for people in extreme poverty. In addition, I give 70 euros per month to all people from a very poor Senegalese region in order to contribute to their family's economy. I do not need to display luxury cars, luxury homes, trips, and even planes. I prefer that my people receive a little of what life has given me. Sadio didn't have to show his wealth or prosperity with expensive things, but it was obvious to people that he made a lot of money from what he did. And when someone noticed something different about him, he used that opportunity to show people how to be generous. Now, I don't know if Sadio is a Christian or not, but his actions should encourage us as Christians even more to make sure that we're giving God the glory in our success and prosperity and sharing with others. So since I'm a big sports fan, I'll give you another example from the world of sports. It's something small, but powerful. Have you ever been watching a sporting event and you see somebody make a goal or do something really spectacular, and they'll, you know, put a finger up and look up to heaven, giving God the, you know, the credit for what they just did? Unfortunately, all too often, the rest of their lives doesn't always reflect the same thing, but I still like to see someone doing it. It's just a little gesture, but people still take notice. And if it's backed up by the way you live the rest of your life, that little gesture can bring about big change in other people's lives. These are just a few examples of how we should be with our accomplishments and prosperity. So maybe you think that you're not all that prosperous, or you're thinking, how can I apply this to my life? We know from 1 Corinthians 10:31 that everything we do should be to the glory of God. It says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. I think a great example of this is found in Acts chapter 16, verses 23 through 30. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself, we are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Obviously, we wouldn't say that Paul and Silas were prosperous or wealthy in this situation by the world standards, but they were well known, and people listened to them when they spoke, so they used that. They used that to let their heavenly prosperity be known, and it brought glory to God by saving the jailer and his family. You might say that the great earthquake that shook the foundation, or the chains falling off, or all the doors busting open, may have had something to do with the jailer being saved. But what if Paul and Silas had not done what they did? The Bible makes a point to say that the other prisoners were listening to Paul and Silas as they prayed and sang. No doubt the jailer, at some point, had heard this as well. So what if Paul and Silas would not have been singing and praying for the others to hear them? What if they would have ran out as soon as God had freed them? Nothing would have brought glory to God at that point. The jailer would have killed himself, and they would have attributed the escape to a violent earthquake. Not only did Paul and Silas's words show their heavenly prosperity, which was an abundance of faith, but their actions did as well. So I mainly wanted to talk to you about letting God's glory show in our prosperity tonight. But as we see through this story in Acts, God's glory can be shown through any situation in our lives, whether you think you're prosperous or not. In closing, I want to leave you with this. The Bible says in Matthew 5:45, he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. There are extremely successful and rich people out there that would have nothing to do with God. A lot of powerful and wealthy people that are not very good people at all. We need to make sure that we distinguish ourselves from the rest of the world in our prosperity, our good works, and every other aspect of our lives, whether it be in good times or in bad, as we saw with Paul and Silas.